My Story, an autobiography of a homosexual Christian by Derek Michael Shaw. Episode 8, Three Reasons. Lent ended during spring break that year. We were both doing missions trips for the week, me overseas in Paris, sharing my faith with travelers in youth hostels, and Jenny was in West Virginia building houses for Habitat for Humanity. When we both got back, we sat on the lawn near Blanchard Hall and talked for 2 hours. She first explained why she had given me up for Lent. We agree now, when I saw her in March 2018, that she should have explained her reasoning for giving me up prior to Lent starting. But why did she? She gave me up for Lent because I had taken on an oversized role in her life. She wanted my approval and interest in her life more than God's. By giving me up, she wanted to focus on God and what He wanted for her and for our relationship. I expressed all the emotional and psychological hurt I had experienced, and she apologized for the pain that she had caused me. What's funny is that I was still ready and waiting to date, but she managed to surprise me yet again. Jenny said she had done a lot of thinking and praying and had 3 reasons she couldn't ever date me. First, she said I was too smart. She felt intellectually inferior around me and felt that she couldn't keep up. Second, we came from very different pasts and family situations. Third, we had different ways of interacting with God. It's funny because Jenny didn't even remember these 3 reasons she gave me in the year 2000 when I saw her just this past March. But they were seared into my mind and soul. I didn't really understand any of those reasons at the time, and I still don't completely. But that's what happens. Sometimes, actually a lot of times, our reasons for doing things don't make any logical sense. We have reasons that we can explain, but to everyone around us, they can be downright confusing. Sometimes there isn't a satisfying explanation, but you need to keep pressing forward, because you might discover the reason in a different time and place. For myself, I realize now that I only wanted to be in a relationship to be able to be attached to someone, to be close to someone, to care for someone and have them care for me. In essence, I knew that it was not good for me to be alone, but I did not know what kind of suitable partner I should be with. What I can confirm was that I did not have one iota of physical or sexual attraction to her. Jenny had realized she couldn't ever date me, and I finally accepted that. It had taken close to 2 years for us to figure that out. I went off to another part of the campus right after this meeting and prayed, asking God for peace and understanding. I was so confused because I had tried to get into a relationship with a girl for 2 years and had utterly failed. I also had no physical or sexual attraction that developed after 2 years of knowing her. God did answer my prayer because I felt a presence speaking to me, telling me that there were different plans for me. Life wasn't over. Someday, I would be able to fill this desire for companionship. During this time of prayer and meditation, a cat also came over and sat with me, which was odd because this was the center of campus, and I don't ever remember encountering cats on campus. I have to chuckle now, though, because maybe God was trying to tell me this would be the only pussy I would ever experience. At the time, however, I didn't know what this event truly meant, and soon after, I didn't even think to discover God's true plans for my life. Here is another email sent to Catherine after Lent had concluded. Thursday, April 27th, 2000. Okay, so, just to let you know how fickle and changing emotions are, I am better. I just finished a 2-hour talk with Jenny. It was really good. I got to ask the questions that had been bothering me, and she got to also. The questions I asked were 1, what were or are her feelings? This was really helpful. She still likes me in a romantic/dating sort of way. She thinks I'm a caring, sensitive guy who is really genuine and loving. So basically, she couldn't say that she didn't like me. Why didn't she feel like we would ever get together? This is probably the most important thing, and I am kicking myself for not asking her sooner. I should have asked her about it in January or even before that, but I didn't. That is the past. Can't do much about it anymore. Anyway, what she told me is that there are three things that she really felt were between us and couldn't be resolved or dealt with. The first is that she feels like I am really smart, and she isn't as smart, and so she is competitive about that. Furthermore, she couldn't handle it too well if she was dating me, as she would feel like she constantly had to keep up. That is valid. Secondly, she feels like our pasts are too different. She doesn't think I can handle or help her with her past, and she doesn't want to drag me down into it. Third, she feels like we relate to God in different ways, which I never really thought about. Thinking about it now, that doesn't have to be a bad thing, but it just makes communication that much more important. I don't know. Should your spouse communicate with God in the same way as you? I don't think so, although I don't know. That is just my opinion. The other two things are things that really concern her, but I didn't realize, or I don't think, they're that important. But that was good to hear. Now I can know why she thinks that we shouldn't get together. I thought it would be hard to hear that she still likes me, but the answers to the second question really helped put it in perspective. I also asked her about why she would feel hurt or jealous about hearing that I was going out with someone else. Again, that shows that she still likes me romantically. And she did have a passing thought that me and Deb, who I have been talking to a lot about this situation, were going out. So that was interesting to hear, but it doesn't make it easier. So why am I feeling like most things are resolved and that I am at peace? I don't really know. Jenny then asked me lots of questions about what I was feeling and what I had thought during different times in Lent. It was good for her to hear that, but I'm not always sure that she gets what I am meaning when I say something. Communication is so hard. Jenny asked me about my feelings towards her, but I don't know what those are. I know what my feelings towards the situation are, but not towards her. I don't hate her or anything. I just didn't like the situation. Anyway, we cleared some stuff up, and then the big question hit. What was I going to do? I had a big choice about keeping the friendship or totally shutting it down. Right before I talked with Jenny, I ran into Deb. It was providential. She told me how hurtful it would be if I totally cut off the friendship. But that is what I wanted to do because I was so hurt. But she really warned me against it and then prayed for me and what I would say and hear. That I wouldn't be hurtful or vengeful, but that I would be able to communicate clearly and openly. And I think that is what happened. When Jenny and I first started talking, I was really teary and was going to cry hard. And then she started to cry, which only made me think less of my pain and more of hers. In any event, I stopped crying, and then the conversation only got better for me. I was feeling lots of peace, and I really told what was on my heart, and I hope she didn't take anything wrong. It was really good for me, and although I may feel different tomorrow, I am reveling in the fact that I am feeling like this, and I am writing you right after it happened so that I might look back and see how I was feeling right after. So, what did I decide to do? What I told her is that if she wrote me, then I would write her. I am open to hearing from her and will respond if she takes initiative and writes me. And then it is up to her and me to decide how open each of us will be. It is another big risk, but I think that is what I should do. The distance will be good for us, but I think it will be good to have a little bit of communication. So, in the end, I am back at the same point I always was at. One day I wake up and realize that my problems are nothing compared to everyone else's. So many other people are so much more hurt than I am, and yet I can become totally focused on my hurt and pain. That doesn't do much good, although I think it is a normal step and not always bad. So I look around me and see the hurt of everyone else, and my own hurt diminishes a little bit. But it might come back. Tomorrow I might be bitter, angry, or depressed. But I have to live with these feelings today, so I might as well experience them. That seems to be the lesson of the year, and it just ended with one of the hardest cases of that I have experienced. Catherine, I am at peace, Finally, after 8 weeks, I am at a calm in my life. It is really, really good. Even if it lasts for a day, praise the Lord. Thanks for listening. I have a dinner meeting with my DSG, Discipleship Small Group. I don't know what I will tell them. We will see. I am just glad that I am alive. Take care. Derek. P.S. Just listening to Cademan's call. 40 Acres is a really cool song. I like it lots. P.P.S. Guess what? I just finished reading The Sacred Romance. Deb suggested it to me and loaned me a copy. I really liked it. The first half was much more applicable to me. I didn't understand the second half, although I read that part over Easter weekend, so my mind was someplace else at the same time, thinking about the situation. Tell me what you thought of it. I will look over it and see. I read it kind of fast, so who knows what I missed. I love you so much. Wish I could hug you, because that is what I'm thinking about right now. As I was writing this book, I finally realized that the Lenten cycle I experienced in my sophomore year of college is one of the ways God protected me and Jenny from getting into a potentially damaging relationship, because I would have eventually accepted I had exclusive homosexual attraction, which would have been devastating to a relationship. When God created me to be homosexual, He also had a plan to use my life story to confirm the truth that God loves us all, Christ died for us all, and the Holy Trinity desires people to be healthy, attached, and part of a family. I've realized this now, 18 years after this event. By giving me such a unique Lenten experience, I can strike up a conversation with anyone with just 3 questions. 1. Do you know what Lent is? I ask them to explain it in their own words, or else explain what it is if they don't know. 2. What do people typically give up for Lent? Usually people will say meat, chocolate, candy, alcohol, tobacco, TV, and more recently social media or smartphones. Because even if they haven't experienced Lent, oftentimes they know someone who has. Number 3. Have you ever known any person to be given up for Lent? And so far, this has always been a no. But it just gives me the opportunity to launch into my story. A story of rejection and confusion, but also one of hope and redemption. Junior and senior year, I focused on my major. It had jumped all over the place the first 2 years of college, piano performance, math, and Bible theology, before settling on business economics. It seems very odd that I would choose that major when my Myers-Briggs was the counselor type, but I never really wanted to be a business major. I would tell my friends and professors that what I really truly wanted was to be a stay-at-home dad. And that always made me a little sad, because I didn't see a way forward. I thought I would have to be the typical Christian husband, someone who would provide for his family. A business major would do that. It would set up a life where I could provide for my family, and family was extremely important to me. What's truly ironic is that almost 2 decades after I first took my Myers-Briggs test, I'm on a path to become what my personality type said I should be. A counselor. I will be applying to grad schools before the end of the year with the intent to start a master's of counseling degree concentrating on marriage, couples, and family therapy starting in September 2019. My last 2 years at Wheaton, I was also involved in residence life as a resident assistant and then an assistant resident director. These responsibilities took up most of my free time, but they provided me with connections and purpose and meaningful work. So I felt happy and fulfilled. I didn't know what kind of job I would get after graduation, and I had no idea when I would meet someone I would want to date again, but I was content to experience life as it came. I was still masturbating to stories of other boys in sexual situations, and I continued to build meaningful friendships and perform well academically. I even got a surprise scholarship my senior year by being recognized as one of the top business students in the department. I've been very good at most things I've tried in my life, which made it that much harder to figure out my passions. As I headed into graduation, I couldn't name what I was passionate about, besides family, but I thought everyone should be passionate about family because we all came from one. The question of passion would plague me for years. I don't remember any other impactful moments related to my sexuality until that fateful day, spring semester of my senior year, where I accepted I had exclusive homosexual attraction. After graduation, when most of the students had left, I was one of the last remaining people on campus, since I was an assistant resident director. I remember going into the dorm computer lab several times because I had found a website that wasn't blocked by the porn filters of the school. And the dorm computer lab didn't have login requirements, so no one knew it was me. That was the first time I looked at homosexual pornography, and it felt good to acknowledge that I was interested in it because I was interested in men. And so I packed my bags, moved back to my hometown, and tried to start a life of my own. Next time on My Story, Chapter 5, Young Adulthood.